Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Though he was incarcerated for proclaiming the gospel, Paul requested prayer for an open door and for boldness to speak the truth. An open door from God does not always mean smooth sailing or absence of opposition. Rather than keep quiet, which would have made life much easier, Paul asked for prayer to be faithful despite the consequences. Are you a despite the circumstances follower of Jesus Christ? Please open your Bible to Colossians chapter 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 2 through 6.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy.
The mystery, or a mystery in the Bible, is something that was hidden or veiled in the Old Testament that is now revealed in the New Testament. Well, we know that the mystery of Christ is that the Gentiles would be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Earlier in this letter to the Colossians, that previous passage was in Ephesians 3:6. Earlier in Colossians, Paul speaks of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He spoke of the mystery of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And Paul's praying for an open door to speak this mystery. You know, there's a lot of secretive religions. You know that. They have their little secrets. Secret handshakes. Secret underwear. Secret books. Everything's very secret. But here's the thing. The gospel is not a secret that is meant to be hidden. The gospel is the good news that is meant to be proclaimed to everyone. And it's right here. God tells us, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And sometimes you and I think that when God opens up a door for us, it means that it's going to be smooth sailing. Sometimes it is. I thank God for the times when he does that. But there are times when there's an open door and there's going to be opposition. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, but it is not popular according to the spirit of Antichrist or this world. There is opposition to everything that God deems sacred and holy and pure. This world system is bent against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many times that open door will be met with opposition. Yesterday we had the Walk for Life. We're walking around the neighborhood. And some fellow who is on many of our prayer lists now, made it a point of telling us that we really weren't welcome around here. Well, your heart just gets broken. Because now, I mean, what that guy was saying is, you know what he was saying? Here's what I heard. Pray for me. I'm lost. What else he was saying, I wasn't even listening to. Pray for me. I'm lost. But there's opposition. There's opposition. Now, here's Paul. Rather than keep quiet, which would make life a lot easier for him, Paul is asking for prayer to be faithful. I love this. In spite of the consequences of being faithful to God. He knew that by being faithful, things would not get easier for him. They may get more difficult. And that causes me to ask a question. Are you and I, in spite of the consequences of being faithful to Jesus, are we, in spite of the consequences, followers of Jesus Christ? If I'm obedient, what? What are the consequences? Many times, people don't come to faith in Christ because they're concerned. What is my mother going to say? What is my father going to say? What are my children going to say? What is my spouse going to say? Wrong questions. What are you going to say at the end of your life when the Lord says to you, have you received? Why didn't you receive me here on earth? Being faithful to the Lord, if you have counted the cost to seriously follow Jesus Christ, you're going to receive opposition. If you've chosen to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ over human loyalty, the cross over the pleasures of this world, inevitably there's going to be opposition and consequences. So we have a mandate. Every one of us has a mandate to go into all the world, be a witness, and share the gospel. Every single one of us. So how are we supposed to share this gospel? What's our attitude to be? Well, we're to share it confidently, but there's an attitude of the heart. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tries our hearts. You see, if you're preaching to persuade people, you may be tempted to alter or water down the gospel to make our message more palatable. But the moment you do that, you're not preaching the gospel. Because the preaching of the cross is offensive. It's offensive to this fallen world system. Now, Paul never changed his message to make it more acceptable, but he did adjust his methodology depending on who he was witnessing to. We see a beautiful example of this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Chapter 3, Nicodemus. Chapter 4, the woman at the well. Chapter 5, the man at the pool of Siloam. Jesus did not compromise the message, but in chapter 3, he altered it to address a religious wreck. In chapter 4, he altered his approach to address a moral wreck. In chapter 5, he altered it, not compromised the message, to address a physical wreck. And that means that one of the things that you and I must learn as we're walking with Christ, as we're seeking to see people come into the kingdom of God, we need to be prayerful. Years ago, everybody was handing out the tracts, the four spiritual laws. That's like having a guitar with one string. The Bible says you and I are to be fishers of men. You don't use the same lure to catch fish, different fish. Just learning how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Instead of just spewing out truth, which we must spew out, but sometimes we can do it with the wrong attitude. We need to be able to meet people where they're at. That's why it's so beautiful. You may not think so. The Lord says that you are the salt of the earth, that you are the light of the world. And He has divinely placed you in the family you're in. He's divinely placed you in the job you're at the school you're at, the classmates you have, the team that you may be on. He's divinely placed you there to be salt and to be light. And part of being effective is learning, studying your mission field, meeting them where they're at, and then sharing the truth of the gospel. I'm convinced that people will not listen to what you say unless they see that you believe what you're telling them. So important. So important. And you win them over, not by compromising. Not by compromising, but by studying them. How do you please men when you talk to them about the gospel? By telling them what they want to hear. How do you please God? By telling others the gospel, by telling them what they need to hear. And that's what he says in verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Toward. You see that phrase? See that word? Toward. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Barna, one of the statistics that they have come up with, I wish it was wrong, but I believe it's true, is that the vast majority of Christians, after they've been saved for 5 years, have no unsaved friends. Well, who are you going to witness to? You see, there's a reason why You're on that job. There's a reason why you're in that neighborhood. You see, there's light here. Look at all of these lights. There's so much light here. Now, if I were to shine another light, it wouldn't make much difference. But I can tell you what, it wasn't this bright at X o'clock when we arrived for prayer. It was pretty dark. Then we flipped the switch. And I'm hoping that for you and me, when we leave here today, as we go about our lives beginning the rest of today and tomorrow, that you will flip the switch wherever you are. Be salt. Be light. Pray for an open door. And watch what God does. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. So many Christians are afraid of people that are in the world. Intimidated by them. Now, we are not to be unevenly yoked. We are not to participate in sinful, ungodly things that they do. But we are to go towards them. That's our mission field. Jesus said, go into the highways, go into the byways, go into the hedges. That's our mission field. The lost. Not running away from them, running towards them. Redeeming the time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's one of the many passages of Scripture that it's good to pray. You wake up, say, Lord, teach me to number this day that I may apply my heart unto wisdom. Now, the world is the world. People are going to mock you. People are going to annoy you. People are going to irritate you. Not all of them. Jesus said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know one of the favorite foods of wolves? Sheep. They like to devour you. They want to silence you. They want to chew you up. But I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Be wise. Be wise. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, we read, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, the Lord is telling you and I today that we are to redeem, or we are to make a wise and sacred use of every opportunity for the light of Christ to so shine before men that the unsaved would see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And he says, walk carefully. I would say walk prayerfully. And this word carefully is very, very descriptive. Imagine a gathering of people, and then there's someone who's bringing water in these nice fancy glasses. And the individual bringing the water stumbles, and then there's shattered glass. And just imagine you being, say, poolside with no footwear on. You're not going to walk over the grass like this. That would be stupid. You walk carefully, circumspectly. It's very important in evangelism to walk carefully, to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, making the most of the opportunities that God gives to you. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There was no greater evangelist on earth than Jesus Christ. How did Jesus evangelize? Here's the thing about Christ that we need to learn from. You'll see in the Gospels that he was moved with compassion towards the multitude. Even though when you do a comparative study of the four Gospels, the vast majority who came to Jesus were not coming to him for the right reasons. They weren't looking for a Lord. They were looking for a healing. They were looking for a free lunch. And yet Jesus took the opportunity to minister to them, being moved with compassion, and then he laid the gospel out. I believe that you and I need to be like Jesus, a little bit more compassionate in how we seek to win the lost to Christ. There's a lot of, thank God for them, Navy SEAL, Army Rangers, Green Beret Christian. Repent! And there is a time when you have to dangle someone over the fires of hell, as it says in Jude. But there's something to be said for the normal Christian life. For you and I living in our neighborhoods, working at the same place for a long time, being on the same team, and you've acquired the privilege to speak into their life. Now, some of you, many of you, you know, we've talked and you've been sharing Christ, and you say, you know, people think that I'm weird, people think that I'm strange, people think that I've lost my mind. But then you've also said, but when someone gets sick in their family, or when someone needs someone to go up to the hospital, or when some tragedy hits, who do they go to? You, the one who has been representing Christ. Beloved, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, praying as you live your life. What you're doing is not in vain. It's so necessary. Every one of us is given a limited amount of time on this earth, a measured amount of resources, and that time and resources are to be used to spread the gospel and to bless others. That's why you and I have been redeemed. We have been redeemed to be a witness for Jesus Christ in this world. No matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter how educated or uneducated you are, you and I have been redeemed to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And when we finish our testimony, that's when we go home. The two witnesses in the book of Revelation, during the time when all hell is breaking forth on earth, when they finished their testimony, then they went home. You and I have a race to run. Want to go to heaven? Say, Lord, help me to finish my testimony. That's kind of selfish. But wouldn't you rather be in heaven now? See, we have a mission. We all have a mission. And as you have an opportunity to do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. You know, God uses little things. You know, like we're collecting the donations for the ER Resource Center. You should hear the things that the guy says when he comes either tomorrow or Tuesday. He goes, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. We say, well, it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. We want to bless East Rochester. What a testimony that is. My prayer is that as long as the Lord would have us do it, that whole other room would be filled with stuff, that they'd have to bring a truck to come and get the stuff. And then Paul says, let your speech be always with grace, wholesome, kind, sensitive, gentle, truthful, loving, thoughtful. Does that describe you? See? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, again, what's the context here? It's walking in wisdom towards those that are without. Right? Let your speech be filled with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt in ancient times was highly valuable. It was used as a preservative. It was used as a disinfectant. It was used to enhance the flavor of food. That is how you and I are to witness to the lost. Our communication is to be salty. It's to be a preservative. It's to be a disinfectant. It's to enhance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Words are important. How many of you have been blessed by things people have said to you? How many of you have been hurt by things that people have said to you? Which one do you tend to remember? You probably tend to remember the person who said not so nice of things about you. Scripture says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Notice Paul here, and Peter says the same thing. He says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, giving an answer suggests that someone is asking me a question. So there you are. You've been sowing seeds. You've been watering seeds. You've been praying seeds with your neighbor, with your coworker. And then something happens and they ask you a question and you give them a biblical answer. I love it how God just makes it so easy for us. He says, you pray, you seek an open door, you look for open doors, you listen, you make a student of the environment that you're in. I love grocery store evangelism. In fact, my wife will make it a point to give me a little list. She says, sweetie, I'm going to stay home because I know that you just like to talk to people. And God opens up a door. Lord, open up a door to share the gospel. And he does. He always does. Now, how many know that sharing the gospel sometimes is just being kind, being loving? And then someone goes, oh, thank you. Well, praise the Lord. You go, huh? What's he got to do with it? I was telling the first service. Now, you go to some grocery stores, and the checkout person has their name. Names, and I saw one girl's name yesterday. It had every letter in the alphabet in there. I said, how do you say that? And she said, well, you say it's a, I even forgot her nationality. What was like a YHVHKA? I'm thinking, what? I said, that is such a beautiful name. You know, God, I'll never forget that. She goes, huh? Sometimes, you know, people love to be around Jesus. Children love to be around Jesus. You know why? He wasn't a grouch. He wasn't ornery. He was approachable. He's a good shepherd. He's our example. Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The hope. Boy, is this world looking for hope? They're slowly learning that it doesn't matter who is in the White House. That's not the answer. Our hope is in Christ. Christ, the hope of glory. I don't know about you, but I believe that you and I can do a much better job of being a steward of what comes out of my mouth. Well, I'm not vulgar, but I can be rude. Not vulgar, but I can be unkind. Not vulgar, but I can be, maybe, didn't Jesus say, by your words you shall be justified and by your words you shall be condemned? Be careful of saying idle things. I'm trying to be more conscientious of how I speak. You know, the Puritans, you know what the Puritans used to do? They would make it a point of when they got together to just speak of the marvels of God, the wonders of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the forgiveness of God. They would make it a point. You know why? Because it's so easy for you and I to get off on these other tangents. And the Puritans used to say, godly people speak about God. Ungodly people speak about people. Let your speech be with salt. Now, what we covered is so practical, isn't it? This is just practical, daily Christian living.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.